T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
I want to jump in right away because Andy Slavitt is kind enough to join us. Andy has joined us a number of times before for approximately 6 months. Andy Slavitt was the senior advisor on COVID response to President Joe Biden. He has a great book out, Preventable, the inside story of how leadership, failures, politics, and selfishness doomed the U.S. coronavirus response. Andy still has a podcast out there. In fact, his last podcast has our guy, Mike Osterholm. Mike's a regular on this show. Mike's back on with us, his regular Wednesday appearance at 105. We're very fortunate to have Andy on, considering the concerns and questions about Omicron and where we're headed. Andy, it's a pleasure as always. What is your greatest concern or greatest concerns today about the new variant?
Well, it's great to be back on the show. My greatest concern is getting more Americans boosted. I think people interpret the news around a new variant a number of different ways, but I think the most useful interpretation is that even with what is likely to be some reduced effectiveness of the vaccine, particularly with the booster, will offer really strong protection against hospitalization and severe illness still. So while there's a lot of things to think about, we have many more tools today than we did ever before in dealing with the pandemic. And among them that's available right now for Americans is getting your booster shot.
So I'm with you 100% on that. I shake my head every single day on the explanations I hear from either people I know in my everyday life or what I hear from folks hosting the show on why they will not get the vaccine, let alone the booster. As hopeful as you are that more people will get the vaccine, realistically, do you think this new variant is going to change the opinion of those who seem to be so entrenched on the position of no on the vaccine?
Well, look, I think if we do a clear job communicating to people and we're not fighting a lot of counter-messaging and misinformation on Facebook and from politicians who kind of want to make a song and dance of this, then I think we should not be giving up on people. We should not be giving up on communities. I think if you put aside the title vaccine and you put aside all these other things and just you said to people, hey, I've got a 75% greater chance to keep you out of the hospital, most people take that shot in a heartbeat. And that's really what we're talking about here. And so the administration needs to keep communicating clearly with people, telling the public the truth, as the president's done. It's not a time for panic. It's a time for concern. And then people should just keep an open mind and do what's in the best interest of themselves and in their families. But we also shouldn't talk about the vaccine like it's a panacea, because I think that is what frustrates people who know that it's not. It's just a very good tool.
So I want to stay with that and on the communication side. That was a huge part of your job when you were senior advisor to the president. When you look back at your time, and you look back at the last few months with the administration and look back at an open mind, where could the administration be better at communicating regarding COVID, the vaccine, to all of the public, to those who have bought into the vaccine so far and to those right now who have said no?
I never regretted any time I would talk to the public and just tell the truth as if I was talking to my own sister. I always felt like that steers you right. Even if the message is complicated, even if there's nuance to it, the public, you know, it can handle it. You know, if you pretend for a second that people aren't adults and you try to dumb down the message, I think you end up regretting it. So, you know, I can't think of occasions where I did that knowingly, but I do know that every time I went out and answered a question, very straightforward, and said, here's what we know. The science is not defined yet, but here's what we suspect, and we will let you know when we know more. People may not love that answer. They may prefer certainty, but I think that false certainty gets you in trouble. And I think what the president did yesterday, going out and making the statement that he did, is exactly the kind of communication they need to keep up.
So, as you know, we're now up to 70 countries with some form of travel restrictions. Japan, as an example, they have banned all foreign travelers. When you were asked about travel restrictions within the country on Friday, when we just were learning about Omicron, and we're still learning more and more by the day, here's part of what you said. Banning travel hasn't seemed anything close to a panacea, and it punishes countries and their economies who make and report discoveries. Then you added Saturday, a far better response would be the mass shipment of hundreds of millions of vaccines to the area. So would you advise the president, if you were still in that office, that the travel restrictions in our country are a mistake at this point?
So I'll tell you, I went and talked to the administration and said, what are we doing? What is the U.S. doing in Africa to prevent the spread of the virus? And what they told me, and I put this out yesterday, was interesting. You know, there's been 93 million vaccines that the U.S. has given for free in Africa, 13 million in southern Africa, 8 million in South Africa specifically. And we're now at a point where South Africa is turning down vaccines because they've got vaccine hesitancy issues. But we, you know, I think the question that we all have to ask ourselves is, when you first heard about Omicron, was your first concern about, boy, what is this going to do to people in Africa? Or was your first concern, boy, I hope this doesn't disrupt my life here? And there's no shame in the fact that all of us are a little self-centered in how we think about this. The problem is, if we don't think just as hard about how it's going to affect people around the world, it will affect us here greater. And so, you know, we need a degree of empathy as we make these tough decisions, and we need to keep showering resources. USAID is on the ground and put $250 million into vaccination programs in Africa. That's great. We need to keep that up. And, you know, shutting down travel is not a panacea. Unfortunately, you know, it's a tough decision. I'm not sure that I would have decided any differently if I were in the administration, but we shouldn't pretend like that's the single answer.
Andy Slavitt is with us, senior advisor for COVID response within the Biden administration, the first 6 months of the administration. Just was raising what he offered up on Twitter. You can follow him at A Slavitt. So just staying with that response, because a lot of people saw that initially and said, wait, is Andy Slavitt saying it's a mistake on the restrictions? Are you now saying you're not certain about that? Or if you were in the room with Joe Biden today and he said, Andy, yes or no, should we have travel restrictions on South Africa and the other countries, what would you say to the president?
Well, I'd say that the best approach is, if you're going to restrict travel, let's make sure that if people are coming in from other countries, because part of the problem with travel restrictions is they're porous, is that, you know, they exempt sometimes U.S. citizens, they exempt people from other countries, is that we have a process where if people test positive, they quarantine. So if we're going to do travel restrictions, you know, let's do that. Second thing I would tell the president and I tell everybody else is, you know, it may slow things down, but it is not going to prevent Omicron from coming into the U.S. And in fact, Omicron is highly likely already in the U.S. So if we use it to slow things down, let's take advantage of the time to understand this better, get more people boosted and vaccinated, and not talk about it like it's a panacea. You know, finally, I think we've just got to make sure the South Africans have, we just have to recognize, as the president has, that South Africans have been behaving here in an exemplary fashion, sharing information quickly, sharing it frequently, full transparency, getting on the phone and problem solving with scientists around the world. about the gene sequence, and that has got to be acknowledged and rewarded.
So I want to talk to you about just the process and how involved the president is on this. You had a prominent position within the Obama administration. Every president is going to be different. When you were working directly on COVID, and the president, no matter the president, has so many things on his plate, but COVID was number one. Take us in those rooms. How involved was Joe Biden? What was his role? Would he be asking a lot of questions? How would that play out?
Well, my understanding is that this weekend the president was briefed three times about this. Obviously, you know, his number one concern is for the well-being of people in this country and the safety of people in this country. So, you know, if there's anything that is going to impact the well-being of people in the country, and particularly whether it's not just our physical well-being but our economic well-being, you can be sure that that's going to be in his morning briefing, and you can be sure that he's going to follow up with questions and need and want to know more. He surrounds himself with people who are experts in these things so that he can get the best advice. He, you know, you can expect that he's probably talked to Dr. Fauci a number of times because he likes to hear from the scientists directly. And you can also expect that he's talking to people in communities because he wants to know how this is impacting real people in America. That's kind of one of the veins of this president, is he wants to make sure that we're thinking about the working person, the person who works with their hands, the person who works, you know, in a hotel cleaning the rooms at night. He wants to make sure that that person's accounted for in all of our policy work.
We'll let Andy go and remind you, his book's still out there, Preventable. The Inside Story, How Leadership Failures, Politics, and Selfishness Doom the U.S. Coronavirus Response, still has a podcast, and for 6 months was the senior advisor for COVID response to President Joe Biden. Andy, always a pleasure. I know your schedule is very busy. Thank you very much, as always, for coming on.
Great to be back.
Thank you, Andy. You want to react to anything Andy had to say and where you are at in your own mind reacting to Omicron? What you've consumed, what you've seen, what is an appropriate response, what is going too far at this point. You can text us or call at any point, 651-461-9226. Reminder, Jamie Yuccas, it's a Tuesday. Jamie's back. We always love to have Jamie on. And also, greatly looking forward to 2:30, Mark Loria and Alex Rodriguez, the two minority owners of the Timberwolves. They will eventually take over for Glenn Taylor. Ball club is playing very good basketball right now. Plenty of topics on board for Loria and A-Rod when they join us a little past 2:30 right here on the home of the Wolves, WCCO. Bob Dylan brings us back. It's 23 past 1. Part of what stood out to me today, Dan, is from South Africa, the national chair for the South African Medical Association, pointing out with quite a bit of data, saying, yes, the positive rates have increased, but that the overwhelming, and according to her, it's not even close, the overwhelming reporting now on those folks who have tested positive, Dan, mild symptoms.
Yep.
Mild symptoms. And this is the balance that we have to hold people accountable. Us here, information we consume, and what we give you. This show, the three of us who are here on a regular basis, Adam not here today because he did a fabulous job hosting the morning show. There's no intent to gin this up, to overreact, to play to ratings. None of that. That's not how I've ever played doing this in this town since 1990. It's trying to provide you with facts, and then along with it, the way we approach it is also give opinions. I think that's the best way to host a radio show. I think that has been proven decade after decade after decade. And to be blunt, part of the reason why CCO has fallen behind is we don't have enough opinion people who are willing to give their opinions. You may like it the old way. Doesn't work as well right now. Now, if you think we go overboard and exaggerate, I massively disagree. We're not playing to pandering politics. Call out individuals. Praise individuals. We're not trying to keep score and make it 50-50. Just call it out. So when we see the possibility, and by the way, the inevitability that Omicron is going to be here, what is it? Is it as transmissible? Is it as powerful? Is it worse than Delta? Important questions to ask, but it's every bit as important, Dan, when one of the top doctors in South Africa is saying, guess what? So far it's mild. Does that mean it's going to stay that way? We don't know. But there's going to be none of that on our show saying, lock it down, shut it down. We never were advocating that right from the start. That's where the balance has to be there. And that's why I think Slavitt is such a good guest. Because, as he said multiple times, you know, the travel restrictions won't solve all this. Vaccines won't solve all this. But it gives you a significantly better chance. And the data is overwhelmingly clear. And if anybody's cherry picking this and telling you you don't have a better chance with the vaccines and the boosters, or making up stuff about tens of thousands of people lying because of the vaccine, they're not telling you the truth, Dan. It's just as simple as that.
Yeah, you know, as far as the South African news goes, it's encouraging. It's not definitive, but it certainly is encouraging. And we've said all along here with this Omicron variant that we don't know what we don't know yet. And so while there's reason for concern, there's not reason to panic yet. Well, this news now moves that needle a little bit lower on the panic meter. It's, again, not definitive. I want to see it backed up by more testing and more research. And by research, I don't mean Googling stuff. I mean actual scientists doing actual research.
Wait, can I go to Facebook and just go with what's on there?
You can't. You can. You just can't call that research and have any credibility whatsoever.
Yes. So it sounds like, hold on a second.
Yeah.
Sounds like you're a sheep, Dan. Hold on a second. Yeah. I'm not a sheep when I go on chat boards and find out this information.
Yes.
But when you rely on doctors and scientists and research, you're a sheep. That's such a great
one. I choose to listen to doctors and scientists. If you choose to listen to Joe Rogan and the Green Bay Packers quarterback, that's your decision. But, again, any insult you want to throw my way, it bears no credibility whatsoever. So I'm not sweating that at all. Look, I mean, it's the data, like you said, is clear. The vaccine is safe. The vaccine is effective. Is it perfect? No, nobody's ever said it's perfect. But it does give you a much better chance to avoid getting the virus, and it gives you a much better chance of avoiding, if you do get the virus, ending up in the hospital or winding up dead. And over 775,000, we're up to 780 as of yesterday, I think was the number you had.
Yep.
You know, 780,000 people have died. In this country alone, 780,000 people have died that didn't need to die. It's just as simple as that.
And, and as you said, we're sitting here November 30th. If we get more information by December 5th or December 10th, that doesn't mean, as we see so often, including when people text us, 651-461-9226, or when people react to Mike Ostrom back on the show tomorrow, 105. So you're now moving the goalpost. You're changing. It's an ongoing pandemic. We're not looking back at the 1919 pandemic, and it's obviously been done, and looking back at history. We're right in the middle of history with a transmissible disease that's killed millions and millions of people, and smart people are trying to help. And then we have something like Lara Logan, who used to be credible, comparing Tony Fauci to Joseph Mengele.
People are telling her,
she's given
People are telling her that. People across the globe are telling her that.
Oh, my God. What the hell happened to her?
I have no idea. None at all. But it's just such a Looney Tunes clip if you go watch it.
Oh, I did. It's... And you know what? For some people, it just works. And I'm not for uniformity. There's one way to think. But you know what I'm for? Facts. Okay? Facts. They're undefeated. Let's keep trying them. Jamie Yuccas is back with us in just minutes.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records. This is a national contest.